From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Almost 40% of men and 25% of women in professional jobs work more than 50 hours a week. Is all that work life cutting too much into time with family and friends? How do you balance your work with your life? I'm at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. It's toll-free, 800-289-5869. You can write to us. It's conversation at KUOW.org. Here's what we heard from you earlier today.
I used to work for a tech startup in downtown Seattle. The hours were much more lengthy, and it got to the point where I was going on vacation and feeling regretful and almost anxiety-ridden for not being around my inbox. And so I left there. I decided to work for myself so that I could control my own hours. And it's been going fantastic. I've been really happy to be able to enjoy time with my family and my other hobbies.
I do put in more than 50 hours per week for my job. And my free time, my getaway time, is cycling to and from work. It's really the cycling that gives me that free away from off in another world as I cycle around West Seattle.
Work-life balance is the conversation. 206-543-5869. Have you found it? Are you searching for it? 800-289-5869. Write to us, conversation at KUOW.org. David Roberts has found it. David is senior staff writer at Grist, the environmental news site. His method is called medium chill. David, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Ross. Glad to be here.
In your article about this, part, of course, of the reason that we work so much are the pressures of the workplace. There are speed ups left and right. There's more work to be done, fewer people to do it, not to mention those ginormous college loans that have to be paid back. Here in Seattle, there's the high price of living that all pushes us to work more. Are you subject to those outside pressures?
Sure. I think all of us are. And I think particularly those of us in my sort of socioeconomic demographic are pushed, and sort of it is assumed that what you will do is start on a career path and climb as high as you can go on that career path and keep climbing until there's nowhere else to climb. This inevitably involves more and more work, more and more hours. And so what my wife and I semi-consciously, I think, tried to do early on in our marriage is just decide, you know, we're going to go yay high and no higher. You know, we're going to work this hard, this much, and no harder. And if we have to give up some material things that we might otherwise have gotten, or some status symbols or job titles that we might otherwise have gotten, it is a worthwhile trade-off to have more time and a richer social network and more experiences, because, you know, this is social science research tells us pretty conclusively that external rewards and external, bad things happening tend to even out pretty quickly. It doesn't affect your long-term happiness very much. It's experiences and social relationships that lead to lasting fulfillment. So we just decided, let's try to focus on those.
David Roberts, I want to get to some of the internal factors that make us drive ourselves, because you've thought a lot about that too. But first of all, I want to know what you mean by yay high. What does it mean that you got the yay high and you figured that was good enough? Give us a little idea of your life.
Sure. Well, I am a writer, a journalist. So in my particular case, the thing to do would be for me to try to go from Grist to a bigger publication, try to get my name under fancier headings, try eventually perhaps to research and write a book and get on the book author circuit and eventually work my way up until I have a cushy once a week column in Bloomberg or whatever that's paying me a king's salary. You know, there's a trajectory that you're supposed to be going up. And my wife works in coffee. She could, she's been with the same small company now for over 10 years. She could go to a bigger company, try to take a VP job. She could easily, I think, move up and make more than she's making. But we just don't want to work that hard. That's what it comes down to, I think.
Do you find that attitude earns you condemnation, or maybe nothing that strong, or maybe people looking askance at you not trying harder? I'm thinking parents going, why aren't you pushing yourself further?
Absolutely. That is exactly the impetus behind the reason I wrote the post in the first place. Is I was trying to articulate you know, a sort of a defense or a justification of taking it easy and enjoying life. Because I think generally in the U.S. we have this Protestant work ethic, and especially in the sort of a hyper-speed modern U.S. where there's so much anxiety, economic anxiety, and there's so much churn, there's just this expectation that you're going to keep working harder and going higher. And I do think it's looked at funny if you just say, no, I'd rather than making that extra increment of money, I'd rather lay around the living room reading books to my kids more often.
But it's not just the outside forces. You mentioned the Protestant work ethic. What are the other things we have inside ourselves that make Americans take so few vacations and drive themselves so hard?
Well, that's I'm sure there's been tons of research on this, and it's a multi-causal thing. But part of it is what's called fractal inequality, which is that the U.S. has become such a income inequality is so severe in the U.S. that sort of no matter how much you make or what bracket you're in, you're standing next to people making a lot more than you. If you want to sort of chase the Joneses, there are always Joneses who make more. So, you know, the top 10% make way more than the bottom 90, but the top 1% make way more than the top 10%, and the top 0.01% make way, way more than the top 1%. So there's no escaping the sight of people who have more, have better cars, have more, better vacation homes, who go to nicer private schools. There's now no escaping it, especially with media and the TV and everything. So, and human beings just have a natural tendency to sort of seek similar status to those in their peer group. And it's hard. It's very difficult to voluntarily make the decision to say, I'm going to let go some of these external markers and just be kind of a dumpy middle class guy, and that's fine.
Well, let's set the bar here for a medium chill, David. Do you own a house?
Yes.
Okay. Do you send your kids to private school?
No.
Okay. Do you go out to eat once a week, twice a week, three times a week?
Let's say once a week.
Do you shop at Whole Foods?
No.
No. Okay. That gives us some kind of idea of what you're talking about with media. Yeah,
let me just kind of emphasize. I wanted to say this first thing. I really think it's important to emphasize. I am acutely aware that just having the latitude and the space to make these kind of decisions is an immense privilege. I mean, I'm better off than 99% of the world's population. You know, I'm probably better off than 90% of the U.S. population. I'm in a position of immense privilege to be able to sort of, you know, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, obviously how much chill you have in your life is not one of your top considerations.
Right.
But, you know, I just want to be open about it.
Right,
that.
Right. David Roberts, a senior staff writer at Grist. We're talking about medium chill. Let's bring into the conversation Marilyn McKenna. She writes about nutrition and exercise. You may follow her tweets. She comments on everything from cute lifeguards to bad drivers. And you might know that she's the wife of the former Attorney General, Rob McKenna. Marilyn, thank you so much for talking to us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
You found yourself needing a better work-life balance. Tell us about that.
I really did. I had for decades really taken on the other people's priorities, other people's problems, and pretty much a typical kind of people pleaser type mom. I have four kids, but I was working a demanding full-time job, obviously a husband who was very busy. I was a church volunteer, a school volunteer, you know, a homeowners association president, all of that stuff. But what it really was a failure to establish boundaries and to decide for myself what success meant, something that David was just talking about. It honestly, what it did over the decades was it just made me miserably unhappy. And for me, because I internalized a lot of that unhappiness and just sort of swallowed it, in fact, literally swallowed it, it made me very fat. I was 120 pounds overweight. At age 44, I decided I'd really just had enough of that. I wasn't going to live the next 44 years of my life fat and miserable. So I decided at that moment, it was kind of a low point for me. I don't know about rock bottom, but definitely a very low point. When I decided that, that this really just wasn't why I was put here on this earth. And I decided to reach out, ask for help, in so many ways, and to start shedding some of the shoulds in my life, you know, those other people's expectations that I was internalizing. And, you know, through a long process, was able to lose 120 pounds and find a whole lot of happiness and a whole lot of, you know, good life-work balance that I now have.
Marilyn, being the wife of a gubernatorial candidate must have made it hard to slow down, or were you able to even put boundaries about that and say, I'm not going to have this swallow my life?
I really did, honestly. You know, don't tell anybody, but I only went to the really fun events. What I did was find a way. I'd already lost the weight by the time we started the gubernatorial race. And I'd already found ways to, you know, prioritize what makes me happy and to reach out in those ways that gave me connectedness and helped me find meaning in my own life. So for me, the governor's race was a test, certainly, because, you know, time was at a premium. But, you know, having that healthy life balance when you're really, really busy is even more important to prioritize because, you know, healthy habits make stress easier to deal with. It makes it more manageable. It's really, you know, having the healthy life balance is so much more than just a good diet and exercise. It's about, you know, having emotionally supportive relationships, like David was talking about. It's about getting enough rest. It's about doing work that you find meaningful, feeling accomplished. I've become a marathon runner. Those kinds of things bring me tremendous sense of accomplishment. And honestly, just having fun. We were able to have so much fun in the governor's race, I think because Rob and I both approached it in a way that, you know, this is an incredibly unique and wonderful opportunity that we have.
Oh, a great opportunity to see the state and see things. Marilyn McKenna, though, David was talking earlier about he's sort of felt some disapproval and condemnation from people because he hasn't chose to go at it full tilt. How about yourself as you backed away from a full-time job in the Homeowners Association and places like that? Have you felt a tinge of disapproval from people going, Marilyn, step up?
You know, I think you have to learn to define success for yourself. That was a lesson I had to learn. And it's, you know, still something that I have to manage. But, you know, one thing that I've learned through my whole weight loss process is, that I, you know, I play to my strengths and I manage my weaknesses. If it's a weakness for me that I tend to, you know, listen to those voices that say, you know, you really should be working harder and, you know, those kinds of things, you really got to buckle down, make something of yourself. You know, it's okay to sort of shake that off and say, you know what, I'm going to define success and happiness for myself. And if I'm okay with it, then it has to be okay for everybody else.
Hey, Marilyn McKenna, thanks so much for talking to us today.
My pleasure.
I urge you follow her if you're on Twitter at McKenna Marilyn. It's extremely entertaining. And back to you, David Roberts, for the final word. David's the senior staff writer at Grist, and he's coining this term called medium chill. We talked about people may be condemning your approach to it, but are there some who are reacting positively and maybe getting second thoughts about their hard-driving careers from reading what you've written, David?
Sure. I've gotten more feedback from this one post that I wrote in 2011 than I have ever gotten from anything else I've ever written. And many, many people have said, basically, I've been trying to, you know, I've been thinking along the same lines, trying to articulate this, trying to sort of justify taking more time and being more happy and having more fun. And, you know, I appreciate you articulating it. So if it leads to a net increase in the fun in the world, I'll have considered it a success.
Check it out, David Roberts. He's medium chillin' here in Seattle. Thanks a lot for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Ross.
David Hyde produces The Conversation with Arwin Nix. Ellie Ferguson is helping us on the production front, and Bernard Ouellette is in control. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.